The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Breaking news here on ESPN, and you just heard Stephen A. mention it. The Patriots are finalizing a one-year deal worth up to close to $14 million for Cam Newton to return to New England. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take Feel Good Friday. Stephen A., Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. And guys, this is like a low-key big show right now. I didn't know going into this meeting we were going to have all this stuff to talk about, but we certainly do. So let's get it on a Friday. Max, I want to start with you. Was this a good move by New England?
Yes, it was, and yes, it is. Look, I thought they could maybe upgrade at quarterback from Cam. That doesn't mean Cam wasn't good. Think about it this way. Before I get into the whole analysis, Bill Belichick does not overpay for players. Stephen A., we know that. He will let guys walk because he's also the GM and he's mindful of the cap and he's not going to overpay even the quarterback. In fact, in Brady's case, as it turns out in retrospect, he didn't even pay him what he was worth. You know what he paid for Cam Newton last year? $1.75 million. And Cam didn't have a good season by starting quarterback NFL standards. But I will point out, they beat Miami first game of the season. They lost to Seattle in a game in which Cam was great. Russell Wilson was a little bit better. They lost to Seattle. They beat the Raiders. These are all quality teams. Then Cam got COVID. He missed the game. A couple of starts, he was in the COVID fog. Then they lost to Buffalo barely, right? The Cam fumble, but barely. Buffalo's an excellent team. They beat the Jets. They beat the Ravens. They lost on the road to Houston. They beat Arizona. They have a lot of quality wins with Cam as the quarterback for $1.75 million. Stephen A., Belichick don't overpay, guys. He's paying Cam $14 this year. Not $1.75, $14. The value he just got from Cam, whatever you think about the season, wasn't a $1.75 value. And I expect the value he's going to get out of Cam in year two ain't going to be $14. It's going to be higher. It's not going to be just a middle-class quarterback. It's going to be better. Belichick obviously likes what he saw from Cam last year. He liked the leadership, the determination. He had to like flashes of the play. And he brought it up with, he brought it up to the media. He was singing Cam's praises before the season started. And if you think he was just whistling past the graveyard, right? He's trying to pump him up. Why would he re-sign him? You know Belichick, he'll do it on the cheap. Why would he give a guy who's doesn't have promise $14 million for the season? That was Cam last year coming off a catastrophic injury, having missed a year in a brand new system during COVID, having gotten COVID for a team who had, what, nine starters opt out because of COVID to start the season. That was Cam last season. They won seven games. Yup, this was a good deal for the Patriots.
I'm not going to say it was a bad deal for Patriots. I just think it's a bad situation for Cam. Because you're bereft of weapons. N'Keal Harry, Bird, Jacoby Myers, those were your leading receivers. Cam Newton, if you look at, with the exception of the previous season, Max, because he was out injured, he threw the ball less than he ever has in his career in the season. Only averaged like 24 and a half passes per game. When you can throw the football, particularly with accuracy, no coach worth his salt asks you to throw the ball that infrequently in today's National Football League. Obviously, you got Rex Burkhead and you've got, you know, who is it, Damian Harris, and, you know, you've got Sony Michel, and they all ran the football, and they were the fourth-ranked rushing attack in football last year. We get what they bring to the table. We understand that primarily it's about running the football. Cam Newton ran for over 550 yards himself. I think it was 592 to be exact. So when you look at it from that perspective, he can still run with the football. He can still be effective with his legs, even though he's not nearly as effective with his legs as he used to be. I'm looking at the accuracy or lack thereof. And when I view New England, because you don't have the requisite weapons necessary, you don't have anybody on your team, Max, that you can sit up there and say, throw it to me.
Nobody.
I'm open. They have nobody like that. In other words, even when you're not open, you open because of their ability to go get the football. No. unfortunately, because of the weapons that Cam Newton is working with, you've got to be precise. You've got to be extremely accurate. You've got to be completely in sync with the offensive coordinator and Josh McDaniels. All of those things have to come together because you're surrounded by imperfection. And because that's the reality of the situation, it's why I don't like it. It's not that I think Cam is finished. I've never been fond of his accuracy throwing the football. I'm on a record for that, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's not a stud athlete. He is a stud athlete. He can do some things real positive for you from the quarterback position and get it done. He's no scrub, and he's a starter for various teams in the National Football League. I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is New England is what we're talking about here. And because of the weapons that you have surrounding him, what you're asking of him, I think, is too much for him. If it were another quarterback, it would be different. But when it comes to Cam, I think you're asking a lot for him because of what you're surrounding him with. And that's why I don't think it's a good situation for him or the Patriots.
All right. Well, let's look at it from both points of view. You said a bunch of things there. Let's look at it, one, from Cam's point of view. No, he doesn't have receivers. We know they are, as you would say, bereft of weapons,
yes.
Right? And that is, and Tom Brady just showed, no, he wasn't slipping so much mm-hmm. as the Patriots gave him nothing to work with on mm-hmm. offense. That may be true. But if that's the way your team is constructed, how do you plan on winning games? Because remember, Stephen A., after everything I just said, losing Tom Brady, losing all those guys off the defense to start the season, then Gilmore got hurt, by the way, missed some games. Zero offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. Cam off an injury. All that. Mm-hmm. COVID, the whole thing. They won 7 games.
Right.
And I told you some of the names of the team. Miami, the Raiders, Arizona, the Ravens.
Yeah, Buffalo. Max.
They beat some good teams. So mm-hmm. that's one. How are they going to do it? They're going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They're going to play defense because they're going to get a lot of those guys on defense mm-hmm. back. Okay. Now from Cam's point of view, Stephen A., Cam's not worried about his stats. He wants to lead a winning team. And he's in a position with Belichick, obviously, where he feels like they can win games and make the playoffs. If Cam's numbers aren't good, but they win 10 games and make the playoffs, you think Cam's sweating that because he didn't have the receivers? However you win, you win.
Well, first of all, I don't think they will win. The 7-9 that you're talking about, last time I checked, when we talk about Bill Belichick, we talk Super Bowls. They ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of winning the Super Bowl with Cam Newton at the quarterback with the weapons that they have surrounding him. It ain't going to happen. You can snatch that dream away. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even get to the playoffs because I don't see them being better than Miami or Buffalo. And when you talk about their big wins, let's talk about some of their losses. They lost to the Denver Broncos. They lost to an injury-riddled San Francisco 49ers team. They lost to the Houston Texans. So let's not forget the losses that they suffered from and that they incurred as well. So we've got to take that into consideration. And again, I know that you had a whole bunch of dudes that elected to opt out and not play last year. So their defense would elevate exponentially. We get all of that. And as a result, that could potentially win you some games. But ultimately, in the end, when you're talking about Cam Newton and his abilities or whatever it is that he is lacking, Max, don't we have an obligation in the interest of fairness to him to look at the fact that a quarterback is not successful throwing the football to himself? He's got to have people to throw the football to. And when we look at the New England Patriots, there's nothing to knock our socks off, which gets us to the GM that is Bill Belichick. I will never question the greatness of Bill Belichick, the coach. It is,
yeah.
To me, it's sacrilegious. There's no reason to do it. His resume speaks for itself. But as an executive, in terms of putting talent around you, it's a question mark. I'm sorry, Molly. Go ahead.
Can I just ask one quick question? Stephen A., does this show you, like what Max said, though, that Bill Belichick does believe in Cam Newton? Or do you think he's just throwing another year away?
Molly, if you remember, we talked about this when, you remember when Cam was struggling and Bill Belichick benched him one game and I came on First Take the next day and you saw Bill Belichick go over there, pat him on the knee, talk to him. We've never seen Bill Belichick appear to be so affectionate and so comforting to a
player. Why do you think that is?
During a game. And because he knew that there was a...
And he likes Cam.
He likes him.
He likes what Cam brings to the team.
But we're not debating that.
I want to address what you said.
Yeah,
right. Okay. I want to... Okay. But the fact that Belichick likes what Cam brings to the team tells me something. I want to talk about something you said. They lost seven games, and they fell apart at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But really, the losses to Denver and San Francisco, we were even talking about it at the time because he missed the KC game with COVID,
correct.
Right? And we're like, it feels like he's in that COVID fog.
And we were debating how much of a rippling effect it had.
Then a couple weeks later, he came out and said it. He was like, yeah, so I think that explains those games, the Denver and San Francisco games. The Houston loss, was on the road. They were a bad road team. They're going to have to learn. Cam's going to have to learn to win on the road. They were a good home team, a bad road team.
He's going to have to learn to win on the road. He's in his 10th year.
But it's with a new franchise, new system, often injury, with a depleted roster, having gotten COVID. Don't forget, they couldn't even practice because the facilities were shut down.
All we're saying is, Max, here's what it comes down to, man. Cam Newton being on remaining on the New England Patriots. Is it wowing any of us? No.
Well, okay.
No.
Let me just say this.
It is not. I love Cam, but I wish he was in a better offensive situation than New England.
I think he's a placeholder in New England. I think Belichick's rolling the dice, seeing, is he going to turn back into something he was?
Okay.
Or does he bide me some time? Can I bide time with Cam and draft a young quarterback? Okay. I expect the Patriots to draft a guy this season.
Okay, okay. That's a different subject.
But that's why it is wowing me a little bit, because this is a year when Adam Schefter said 18 teams might switch up quarterbacks. There was potential for a trade. There are quarterbacks in the draft, so I do think it's interesting that he's going to stick with him for another year. By the way, guys, there is a caveat on the contract. About $16 million of it is tied to honors and how far they go in the playoffs. So it's not like it's just a layup. Here's 14. About $6 million of the 14. All right, we will leave it there. When we come back here on First Take, Deshaun Watson wants out. We all know this, of the Texans. Okay, we're not going to go there yet. We've got another topic we're going to get to here, and that is another guy who used to play in front of Boston's fans. So Kyrie Irving putting on a show against his former team, 48-3. The Nets taking out the Celtics in Brooklyn, now second in the East behind the Sixers. Stephen A., what has Kyrie proved to you this season?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you plain and simple. We've been talking about Embiid. We've been talking about James Harden. We've been talking about LeBron James. Kyrie Irving has to be on the league MVP list. The brother's a showstopper. Let's just call it what it is. The brother is a showstopper. I can't take it away from him. I think that Kyrie Irving right now is the greatest show in the NBA. I'm talking about if fans had an opportunity at this moment in time to walk through the turnstile, Kyrie Irving should be the number one attraction in the NBA as we speak. Now, we're going to shove aside the fact that the Brooklyn Nets have been winning games without KD. You could actually make a reverse argument. Instead of KD being the MVP early in the season when he was averaging 30 and healthy, hell, he should be the MVP again because they win it without him. Okay? I mean, damn. Then what you're seeing from Brooklyn right now is what you're seeing. I told you that was going to happen. But when I think about Kyrie Irving and what he is doing right now, averaging 27.7, 5.9 assists, all right, 4.9 rebounds, shoot 51% from the field, 42% from three-point range, 89.2% from the free throw line, the nastiest handle in basketball, as you would say, the greatest finisher for a small man at the basket, maybe in NBA history, and you just look at everything he does, man. The brother do a spin move. It's just a fall-away jumper, but everything just looks pretty. Remember when Michael Jordan was in a dunk contest against Dominique in 88, and he just went and sprinted and just flew through the air Jordan, and you just saw the dunk, you're like, all right, that looks nice, until they slow molded. And then you see him cock back and kick the legs, and you're like, damn, it looks a lot pretty.
Dr. J, yes. 2.0.
You know what? You don't have to slow it down for Kyrie. You just see Kyrie do certain things, and it's like, damn. And I'm just saying, with Brooklyn winning, with KD being out, with him putting on the show after show after show. Remember, I'm the dude that said the man should retire. If you don't want to play basketball, you say you want to take a sabbatical, you want to take a hiatus, damn it, retire until you're ready to come back and play basketball. Well, damn it, he came back ready to play. Apparently, that hiatus has done something for him. Kyrie Irving needs to be on the list for league MVP honors because the brother is doing it, they're winning, and he is a flat-out show stopper, the greatest show in the NBA right now.
Well, remember, I'm the guy who's been calling Kyrie the greatest show in the NBA for 2 years now.
I
co-sign it.
Get the tape. Yes.
No problem.
All right, but listen, that's right. And I'm not saying that you didn't already. He's been the greatest show for a long time, I think. The difference is he's behaving now on the court like one of the MVPs of the league. I agree with you that he is on the list right now. He's on the in the top 10, which is
no top five.
Well, this is the problem.
That's where I'm at.
This
top
is the
five.
Problem. This is the problem.
There's no top 10 list for MVP. It's top five and everybody else.
Well, okay.
No top 10
is he more valuable than Embiid so far?
No, I'm not saying not Embiid.
Well, let's go.
Or LeBron or Harden.
LeBron. Harden, who's on his same right team. Thing. Has he been more valuable than Dame Lillard?
That's debatable.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to have that debate.
Yeah.
Because
that's
I think
debatable.
Dame Lillard. Look. Kyrie.
Dame Dollar. I'm not trying to dismiss Dame Dollar. Come on now. But
Damian right Lillard has been more. You take the totality of this season. Look what they've been
no
through with injuries.
No Nurkic.
Oh.
No CJ McCollum. I got no
not
problem
to
with. I got
the
no
numbers.
Problem. I got no problem with CJ. I'm sorry, with Dame and Kyrie
That's
being
four.
Here and
Hold
throwing
on.
Giannis out.
Hold, you're throwing Giannis out?
On the top five. He might be six.
You're throwing Jokic out?
Yes.
You're throwing Jokic
yes.
out.
I don't like what I'm seeing from Denver. I don't like what I'm seeing from Denver.
Have you seen what Jokic
I don't like what I'm seeing from Denver. I don't like what I'm – you got to win. You got to win. I don't like what I'm seeing from Denver.
You know, this is how good Jokic has been.
He's very good.
Everything that Embiid has done on offense, really, Jokic has probably been a little better on – now, not on defense. On offense, Jokic, you could argue, has been the best player in basketball this year. He's been insane. I can't give it to Kyrie over Jokic. He's in the top 10. I like where you're going with that. First of all, the main thing to me for his value is that the question was, how are he and Harden going to share the backcourt? Are they both committed to being great, meaning achieving great results, or are they out for self? Kyrie and Harden have both shown beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are committed to greatness, to team greatness. So they're both MVP candidates, and Harden is in the top five. He's played even better than Kyrie. No one's more spectacular than Kyrie. Let me check that. No one's as spectacular as Kyrie. He is the number one most spectacular, best show, the whole thing. He's not in the top five MVP. No. And he's missed games,
listen,
too.
Listen. I'm looking at Denver. They've won four straight. But they just started getting going up until recently. You know, they were struggling to be a 500 team. That wasn't the Joker's fault. I understand that. As Coach Malone accurately pointed out, other dudes needed to step up. And Jamal Murray was coming on as of late. I get all of that. We see Utah, they're the best team in basketball. Brooklyn and Philadelphia got the next two best records. Brooklyn's got the third best record in basketball. We know what kind of streak they've been on. Kyrie has been nothing short of sensational along the way. My only knock, if you want to take Kyrie out of the top five, fine. But it would only be for one reason and one reason only. Games missed. It ain't
right.
his play. I'm saying it ain't his play.
No, his
at
play.
All. It's well, not his play at all.
I would still not have him top five.
Let me tell you something.
I would have him six or seven.
Please. Please, please.
And let me tell you one thing.
There is something to be said for being the best show in the game.
No doubt. No
There's something
doubt.
To be said I'm, about that.
Because it electrifies everybody. I just want to read you something that Jokic has been doing. Can I just read you something?
Sure.
Jokic is averaging 27, 11, and 8.5. The 8.5s are assists. He's a center. He can also bring the ball up.
Offense goes through him.
He has 1.5 steals a game, and he's shooting 42% from three.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm watching him. The brother can play. I understand that. But I don't like how Denver came out of the blocks. I don't like how they're looking. I'm looking at you making adjustments. James Harden arrives. He's your point guard. KD goes down. Kyrie had his issues
if
or whatever.
Jokic, James Harden.
Listen, all I'm saying, yeah, okay, that's fine. All I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm going to give some credit to not only being great and averaging 27 yourself. I'm going to give credit to you putting on a show, especially during COVID when fans ain't allowed to go to the games for the most part. And all you got is TV. It's you. I'm clicking on my TV to
He's
see the
MEP.
Show that Kyrie is putting on. It's spectacular. I can't ignore that. We got to sit up there and look at him. I'm sorry. He's got to be on the MVP list.
MEP, most enjoyable player, not most valuable.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am, and I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
I don't even know what to say. Stephen A., just go. Just go. I'm not even going to tee you up.
You know, the New York Knicks are having a very, very good season, considering the expectations. And to see the job that Leon Rose, World Wide West, William Wesley, Scott Perry, and, of course, Coach Tom Thibodeau is doing, I just can't say enough about it. Last night, notwithstanding, against Milwaukee, clearly they were rusty, had the day off, and they got blitzed. We get that. But they've been very, very competitive for the most part throughout this season. And despite the greatness we're witnessing from the Brooklyn Nets, the Knicks are showing you that this is still a Knicks town, because even though they don't compare to the Nets in any way, every little thing that they do right, we actually love and salivate over. And, you know, all of a sudden your pride kicks in because you're hopeful for the New York Knicks. And on cue, there is always something that happens with Madison Square Garden to steal the headlines away from anything positive that's happening with the New York Knicks organization. One minute it's Charles Oakley. Another minute it's Spike Lee. You know, you got security forcibly removing Charles Oakley from the stands. You've got Spike Lee. Everybody on the planet Earth knows Spike Lee is synonymous with the New York Knicks. And the money that he pays for those courtside seats and the way he has marketed and branded and helped brand that franchise on his own, despite the fact that they weren't deserving of it literally for decades, you got a problem with him in terms of his past and whatever location he was supposed to be in or whatever door he was supposed to come through and all of this stuff. And now you have Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing never delivered a championship, Max. That much is true. That's about the only thing he did not do for the New York Knicks franchise. When you consider the all-time, I mean, what do you say? A career 21-point-per-game scorer, 15 seasons with the New York Knicks. I'm just looking at him now, you know, going to two NBA Finals appearances, stuff like that. I mean, are you kidding me? Patrick Ewing, who has been the face of that franchise for the better part of two decades, and he has these kind of problems? Once again, even though some people are going to sit up there and say it has nothing to do with Dolan, yes, it does. And the reason why it does is because if you're James Dolan and you conspicuously hold folks in high regard, everybody in the garden is going to know that. Everybody in the garden is going to know. Now, whoever the security personnel is that don't know Patrick Ewing, it might be a fireable offense. And oh, by the way,
who do you think the 7-footer is?
Right.
Some dude who didn't play basketball.
And by the way, and if you do know him, but you're still insisting on a pass anyway, for Patrick Ewing, there's just an absence of appreciation and gratitude for what he has brought to this franchise, and it's just the latest embarrassing moment. I'm not going to say the Knicks. It's the latest embarrassing moment for James Dolan's Madison Square Garden. Somehow, some way, here you are again doing something like this.
First, they came for Charles Oakley, and some people were silent. Then they came for Patrick Ewing. Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing? I tweeted it last night. Like, what's you know, if Dolan owned the whole Hall of Justice, Green Lantern and Superman would be out of luck. Yeah. Like, what's next? Could you imagine Derek Jeter getting hassled at Yankee Stadium?
What's even, though that, even though you are talking about El Capitan, a champion.
Well, hold
five
on.
Times over.
You Patrick Ewing didn't fail to deliver a championship. The Garden, the Knicks failed to surround him with a championship team. Let's be honest. He didn't have another All-Star to play with on offense.
He did have but they ran into Jordan. But go
okay,
and Olajuwon.
Fine. He got to two different finals. Okay. He was a powerhouse. He brought pride to New York and to the Knicks day in and day out.
He did.
He was a great defender.
Yes.
He worked hard. He led by example.
Yes,
he's in the
did.
Hall of Fame. Like, it goes on and on. What's next? Is the Pope going to get hassled at the Vatican? Is Aquaman going to get hassled in the ocean? Like, what's the metaphor? What's the analogy here? It's insane what's going on. And you talked about the Knicks with expectations. Well, they're doing well considering the expectations. Well, guess what? When Patrick Ewing was on the Knicks, you had expectations every single year just because you had Patrick Ewing. Just because Patrick Ewing was holding it down for New York.
Yeah.
And you know who his number one crime partner was, Stephen A.?
Oakley.
The next guy you'd think of is Charles Oakley. Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley, the heart and soul of the Knicks for decades. Charles Oakley.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Thrown
this is
out,
very
arrested.
Entertaining, but can I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Go ahead.
Sure.
What if it's some young kid who's not a sports fan? What if they don't know who Patrick Ewing is? What if their boss said to them, you can't let anybody in without security or you're fired? It's COVID.
That.
They need the job.
Go ahead, Stephen.
I mean, do we do special treatment for celebrities?
May I answer?
I just got to play devil's advocate as we're agreeing on everything here. Please answer all of them.
Well, you know what? You know, we're in the beautiful white and all of that other stuff. Devil's advocate and the outfit and the whole look.
Don't butter me up.
I mean,
angel's advocate.
That's right. You look like an angel.
Don't butter me up.
The devil's advocate doesn't work, Molly.
But devil in disguise.
But I will say to you, I will say this to you, Molly. I don't think Patrick Ewing would have reacted that way if it was just some young kid. I don't think so.
And let me say this.
That's not him. That's not who he is. He's not the kind of person that would have felt the need to react that way because one person just did it, not to mention it was some young kid wet behind the ears that was born after he was playing. I don't think
scared
Patrick
about
Ewing
their job.
I don't think he would have done that.
Garden security is the same guys, good guys.
And there are good guys there. A lot
of good
guys. And they've
been there forever.
Yes,
those guys have been there forever. You see them at the fights. You see them at the game.
They're great guys.
And they're good dudes. I mean, they have jobs to do. Yeah. They have a boss, but you know they got to do what he says. But they're good dudes. Molly, listen, can we play the Patrick Ewing clip again, guys, possibly? Because if you listen to him, he didn't say there was an incident.
That's right.
He was talking about hassle where I go, ask for this, da-da-da. In other words, this sounded like something that was ongoing. We have the video. Let's listen.
I got the sound. Yeah, yeah.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
Yeah, it wasn't just like he was stopped one time. He said stopped, accosted, stopped wherever he goes, asked for passes. But also common sense says you're in a basketball arena. There's a dude who I'm sure all the fans are reacting to or whoever's there is reacting to, and he's 7 feet tall. Is it possible that maybe he played basketball for that franchise?
Yeah. But I'm not going to go to 7 feet tall because there's plenty of 7-footers who couldn't play and that might want to have backs. You know, they might have been former players and they want access to the backs that you don't get that. No, it's not about 7 feet. It's about the fact that it's Patrick Ewing. There isn't anyone that strolls into Madison Square Garden who should not know who the hell Patrick Ewing is. And I think that when you listen to his words, what really, really resonates is similar to what Spike Lee said, is similar to what Charles Oakley said. What you have is a situation where Mr. Paranoid himself, James Dolan, has everyone, not just security, but PR and everybody else reacting to every little thing. He wants people in certain places. He doesn't want the media in certain places. He doesn't want just anybody having access to all of this other stuff. It's excessive. It's paranoid. It's something that has plagued anything that's happened inside of Madison Square Garden, not just the Knicks, the Rangers, everybody in between, anything associated that comes under the umbrella of Madison Square Garden, there has been similar complaints. It is an uncomfortable environment for people to walk in, and it has everything to do with James Dolan and his paranoia.
Let me make an apples-to-apples comparison. Here's a guy who never won a championship in baseball. Could you imagine Don Mattingly, who's a manager of another team, Don Mattingly getting treated that way at Yankee Stadium?
No.
Right? And that was the same thing.
No.
Holding it down for the Yankees in the 80s, didn't win championships, great player. I can't imagine it because you have certain levels of organization, certain classes of organization. And I always say a fish rots from the head down. That's why when you just said basically a culture of paranoia from Dolan, bingo. That's what we're dealing with.
The other thing we can't ignore is this. Are you ready for this? Want me to blow you away with this? It wouldn't happen to Pat Riley. And he's a coach that left by fax. Remember that. He faxed in his resignation because he was so disgusted with the Knicks organization. They wouldn't do that to Pat Riley. So it's something going on in Madison Square Garden. It's got Dolan written all over it. And it's something that needs to stop. Or people need to bring attention to it.
Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
More breaking news for you here on First Take. Tom Brady has reached an agreement with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a four-year contract extension that voids to a one-year extension, sources tell ESPN. The deal ties Brady to Tampa through the 2022 season. And the move saves the Bucs $19 million against the cap this year. The additional voidable years are there to defray the cost. It was another effort from Brady to keep as much of the team together as possible, what he always did in New England. Look who's here, Tim Hasselbeck. Great to have our quarterback here to weigh in on this. But Tim, I'm going to start with Cliff Kellerman. Cliff, what do you think of this?
Well, first of all, however much it is, Tom Brady's earned every penny. I mean, I didn't think it was out of the question that they could win a Super Bowl because the team was so stacked. But I thought he would be along for the ride, a game manager, and he's clearly more than that. He threw 40 touchdowns last year. He was still excellent, and he proved his point that it was the lack of weapons in New England. He's still got it, and he's worth every penny, whatever that is. Now, I don't think it's coincidental that the GOAT, Tom Brady, has always allowed the team to kick the can down the road to get cap relief so that they could afford to put a team around him. It's very smart of him. Now, I'm not saying every player should follow that example. Almost no one will ever play, maybe never, as late as he did at this level, right? Who's going to play 20-plus years in the NFL? Not many are going to be married to a super-rich spouse. You know, I get that he has circumstances, and also he's had longevity that where he's benefited from all this. That's not going to be everyone. But when the owners brought in the salary cap, they really did pose this question to players, essentially. How much do you want and how much do you want to win? Because those two things sometimes are at odds. And Tom Brady has always been the best at providing the team with relief at his own short-term financial expense, though obviously it's worked out for him in the long run.
He's determined to play through the age of 45. I don't think that he'll play the next 4 years, but I think this guarantees that he's going to complete his mission of playing up until the age of 45. He turns 44 on August 3rd, so that means he'll play next season at the age of 44. The following season, he'll turn 45. He'll complete those 2 years. In the meantime, he gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cap relief, which enables them to keep, for the most part, the players that they had in play. I don't think it's an accident why they franchised Godwin as opposed to Shaq Barrett. Why? Because Godwin is the one that Tom Brady is throwing the football to. Y'all figure out what the hell y'all going to do on defense, but you make sure there are offensive weapons that I have available to me remains elite and intact. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And so when you look at it from that perspective and what he's enabled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to do, that's what it is about the four-year extension. It's not to say that they're going to throw him away to the trash in year three or four, because that's all going to be contingent on how he's playing. But what they've done is they've made a commitment to him because he's worthy of that commitment, that we want you here as long as you want to be here. So he has the level of security that, quite frankly, he didn't get in the latter years in New England. He ain't wondering or guessing or anything like that. He's in Tampa, Florida. It's the Sunshine State. The weather in South Florida is beautiful. On top of all of that, it's a tax. There's no state income taxes there. His money goes a long way. He's got Derek Jeter's mansion, unless he's moved someplace else that I don't know about. There's a separate room for Antonio
Brown. Might as well buy it at this point. No, I haven't rented it anymore.
There's a separate room for Antonio Brown if he wants that too, because Antonio Brown is going to be even better next year than he was this year, assuming that he still stays there. You still got Godwin. You got Evans. You got O.J. Howard coming back. You still got Brady.
They're going to get better.
Kowski's probably coming back as well. You look at the pieces that they have in place. He's basically saying, my boys, we all won this Super Bowl together and we handled our business. I'm going to do what I can to keep us in play while at the same time securing that if I want to be here, there's absolutely no problem with me being here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers made that commitment. He deserves it. I'm happy for him.
There's no question that we can all look at Tom Brady and realize that, especially towards the end of his time in New England, he took less than a fair market deal because there was a desire, or at least a thought, that the team would then put good players around him to compete for a championship every single year. Well, in New England, that trust seemed like it was broken, and I think that this extension signals that he trusts Tampa Bay to do exactly what he thought New England would do when he took under a fair market deal. Think about this. He signs a 2-year, $50 million contract with Tampa last year. That's actually a worse deal than the deal Phillip Rivers signed with the Colts a year ago. Phillip Rivers was a 1-year, $25 million deal, and then he was going to be free again. Like, think about, like, for a second, he signed a worse deal than Phillip Rivers a year ago, and now he's signing a deal that I think we probably would all agree does, you know, gives them a ton of relief, and it gives them the opportunity, whether it's Shaq Barrett, whether it's Gronk, whether it's Antonio Brown, whether it's somebody at the running back position. Like what it's done is it's essentially given Brady the assurance that, hey, we're going to give you another shot at this to go win another one.
But let me answer that, and then, Stephen, I want to answer something that you said. I think that Belichick, the reason Brady left in retrospect is not that Belichick, well, I mean, they all spend the same amount of money, more or less. It's that he was spending it on the defense. Resources were going to the defense, and that seemed to reflect a belief that maybe Brady was declining and unable to carry a team and had to rely on the running game and the defense more. And I think that's probably what irked Brady, because you see the Bucs investing in the offense. But I want to say something about the offense, Stephen A. In fact, when you look at the receivers, Godwin is actually the expendable one. He's young, he's already very good, but AB, if he's firing on all cylinders, is, you know, in the best of all time conversation. And Evans is probably the next best receiver on the team when you're not talking about the tight ends who can also catch passes, right? And then Scotty Miller's really the burner. He's really the speed guy. So Godwin is the one that they haven't committed to. They franchise him, but they haven't committed to. And Shaq Barrett, they're having contract negotiations with.
They are having contract negotiations with him, but I would remind you, even though we lamented the fact that Chris Godwin dropped a couple of passes, you know, in the latter part of the season, particularly in the playoffs, for the most part, he wasn't really dropping passes. He was a reliable weapon for them. You moved him to the slot to some degree. He was at 24 years of age, considered the kind of things that he has that kind of potential of. I'm sorry, I don't view Chris Godwin as the most expendable one at all, considering his youth and his skill set and what he brings to the table and the fact that Brady spoke so glowingly about him. This is a target that when you talk about Brady being here for the next 2, 3, possibly 4 years.
What about the team, though? They franchised him for a reason. It seems to me they think maybe this guy can be great. He's not there yet. Let me see it first before we give him the contract.
24.
Yeah, I think part of the reason you franchise him, too, it's like, you know, you maybe feel like whatever you think the market is for Shaq Barrett because of what his path in the NFL has been versus how you view the league viewing Chris Godwin. The other aspect of it is it's hard for Chris Godwin to be upset on the franchise tag when the sell to him can be, look, you're going to get another year with Tom Brady. We understand you want a long-term deal, but you're a young player. You get another year with Tom Brady, catch over 100 balls and have double-digit touchdowns. Like, you're not in a bad situation right now. I think it's a pretty easy sell to keep a player happy to be on the franchise tag.
Yeah, the point is now, though, that when you look at the Bucs, usually Super Bowl winners are going to lose a lot of guys. In fact, partly because of what Brady just did, they might not really lose anyone significant. And as you said, Stephen A., O.J. Howard, do you remember what a big deal O.J. Howard was in college? This dude comes back and, like, do they get better?
Yeah. I'd want to keep Shaq Barrett. I want to keep Ndamukong Suh, too, by the way. That's just me.
Might be able to.
Yeah. All I know is this got me thinking about New England and their decisions. Tim Hasselbeck, always good to see you, sir. We will talk to you soon. Have a fabulous day and a wonderful weekend.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.